20 on this different kind of weather day. This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells, and we have much to talk about, and not all of it is about money this morning, Doug, because we have some weather issues out there.
Yeah, we do, but for the want of 5 degrees, it's unfortunately a little mix of rain and snow this morning.
And it has resulted, I think probably because of the high winds, in a couple of power outages. In 84060, the core of Park City, power is out fairly widely. KPCW is running on generator power right now. Internet service is down. If you're trying to get on the internet and you're in the Park City core, that's not going to work. The good news is Rocky Mountain Power says it should have power. Estimating power will come back on about 9:30 this morning. Another outage taking place in Eastern Summit County, the Colville-Wanship area. Also in 84098 Kimball Junction area, power is out. And that should come back on, Rocky Mountain tells us, around 10 this morning. So some difficulties to report. Let's talk about the show we have this morning. First, though, we have in studio Bill Mullen, a certified financial planner, owner and operator of Millennium Finance, LLC, which is a Utah-registered investment advisory firm. And he's just out with a new book of tips and advice on retirement, The Tax Ticking Time Bomb, How to Recognize and Manage Tax Traps in Retirement. So, Bill will be leading off the show.
Yeah, and Larry, I'm really looking forward to that. It's an often overlooked part of retirement planning is just making sure that you've thought through the tax consequences. So it's an important conversation you're going to want to listen in. Our second guest is Eddie Rubio. He is a developer and operator of hotels in Argentina. More relevant to the Park City community, he got into the co-working space, developing those spaces out. And there's co-working space right across from the Best Buy out at Kimball Junction, and he is the developer and owner of that space. And our final guest, this is going to be another cautionary tale. We have Daniel O'Banion on the phone. He is the director of the Utah Division of Consumer Protection. Larry, you and I have chatted about many phone scams that are taking place. Unfortunately, there's another one that involves solar energy, so you're going to want to listen in and hear about that.
And Doug, I got this call on Friday.
You sent me an email about that, so we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Gordo here.
And I'm Larry with All Resort Group, a proud sponsor of KPCW.
Since 1974, we've been part of this community with shared ride, private van, and SUV service for our customers.
Reservations available at allresort.com or 649-3999.
We move people.
This is Tom Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We are committed to serving Park City and are proud supporters of KPCW. More information at bhhsutah.com or one of our 24 offices throughout Summit and Wasatch counties.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. Also, because it has been raining instead of snowing, although I now see it turning to snow, thank goodness, but there has been a lot of rain, rained hard overnight, and this from Summit County. If you are experiencing problems with flooding, Summit County Public Works Department has sandbags available at the Public Works building, 1755 South Hoytsville Road, just outside of Colville. If you're in need of sandbags, you can go over there and they'll be happy to provide some for you. Now, Bill Mullen, welcome to Mountain Money. Pleased to have you here.
Thank you, Larry.
Bill Mullen is a certified financial planner. He's just published The Tax Ticking Time Bomb, How to Recognize and Manage Tax Traps in Retirement. And I should mention also a former board chair of KPCW. We appreciated your service. Now let's talk about the book. Why did you write it? What have you noticed in your financial planning practice as a trap?
Well, we financial planners, and I think Doug will attest to this, we've talked to people on how to save and build up money for retirement. And we've told them to put them in 403Bs, 401Ks, IRAs, et cetera. And that's been correct. But about 6-8 months ago, I started to recognize that people were thinking about what the taxes were in retirement. So somebody who has followed our advice and ends up with $1 million or $2 or $3 million in those kind of investments think that they have $1 million or $2 or $3 million, and they don't. 30 to 40% of that, depending on what tax bracket in, belongs to Uncle Sam. And he allowed us to save without paying any taxes, and now all of a sudden you start taking money out and you think you can take out $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, and that's before taxes. So you're really only going to end up with maybe $20,000 or $25,000 or $30,000, and that's going to be a big surprise.
And I think everybody looks at retirement and thinks, I'll be in a lower tax bracket, so it won't hurt me as much.
That's always been the talk that we have suggested. With a $20 trillion debt that the United States has, I don't understand how we can afford to cut taxes. So I don't believe that.
Although, mark my words, over the next year, I think we're going to see taxes go down. I agree with you that it's probably the wrong move, but it's likely to happen short term. Long term, though, absolutely.
I would agree with that. The other thing that people don't understand, and one of the traps that I've not seen anybody address, is the fact that once you hit 65 and you retire and you start taking Social Security, and they're taking money out for Medicare Parts B and D, the federal government, the Social Security Administration, looks back at your taxes that you filed 2 years ago. So consider somebody who is 65, hasn't really saved a whole lot of money, but says that they've got a whole lot of money, a whole lot of equity in their house, and that they're going to use that. They're going to sell their house and pocket a $2 million. The first $500,000 is tax-free. The rest of it above the $500,000 profit is going to be taxed. So they're going to have an income in that year based on the big tax gain that they have from the sale of the house. Now, what happens is that the Social Security Administration looks at their taxes 2 years prior, and the cost of Part B and D in their Social Security, which is really Medicare, the Medicare part, will be considered part of their income, and those two items, Medicare B and D, could go up 200%, which means that money is going to be taken away from them and it is not going to be spendable.
So, Bill, you and I work in the industry,
yes,
and the details are really important, right?
Correct.
And we work on the details. I want to keep it for today's conversation higher level,
okay,
because I think the general philosophy is really important here. It's a really important topic. I also want to disclose I'm not an attorney, and I'm not an accountant. I've got my MBA. I'm a certified financial planner, as are you. I'm not an accountant. I don't think you are either, right? So we should probably let the audience know when we're talking about taxes, they should talk to their tax advisor.
Oh, I agree. And in the book, there is a page that says, I am not giving you tax advice.
Yeah, we should say that on the air, which we just did.
And I am not. Yeah.
Your compliance officer will thank me later.
I am my compliance
but
officer.
But high level, this is really important. You know, for years, the financial planning industry has been saying, take advantage of the tax deferrals, take advantage of it. But it's really important to have different buckets of assets when you retire. Some that are going to be tax-free, that unfortunately you're paying tax as you go, right? Your regular brokerage account, your regular bank account. And then it's nice to have stuff that's growing tax deferred along the way. The challenge with that is now, since you got a tax break when you first put it in, now when you take it out, you're going to have to pay taxes on it. So let's talk about that. How should people think about these buckets percentage-wise? Should it be half and half, or what do you advise your clients?
Well, there are lots of rules of thumb, but I'm not really sure that it's going to be different for everybody. I mean, even as certified financial planners, and we do plans for people, we tell everybody each plan is a little bit different. Nobody has
They're very different, truthfully, because everybody's very unique.
Yeah. So saying you should have 30% here and 40% there, I'm not sure what those numbers are. But I would say that people in their 40s and 30s and 40s, 50s need to start thinking about how they get money transferred, either transferred out of some of the things they have. Start using Roth IRAs instead of traditional IRAs. Roth IRAs go in, you don't get a tax break when you put it in, but they're tax-free under the present rules and regulations when it comes out.
Now, what about Larry's thing, though? I mean, Larry thinks he's going to be in a lower tax bracket when he retires, so there's that income tax disparity, the different rates that he can take advantage of. Let's say right now a person's paying taxes at 35%, and they think in retirement they're going to pay at 20%. Has that been your experience? Do people really drop dramatically in income tax rates?
They don't. And in my experience is people don't even think about it.
I agree with you. They don't. And Larry, if your tax rate is the same when you retire as it is today, net-net, there's really no advantage to putting the money in the IRA. You're going to end up after taxes. If the tax rate stays the same, you're at the same place. It's really just a time savings of money.
Well, and it's also the tax break you get when you put the money in.
It feels good to get that tax break today, but you're going to pay for it on the back end.
Exactly, and that's what I've come to realize probably too late after taking advantage of IRAs for so long, is that you would have paid a little tax up front, but then that money grows for 20 years tax deferred, and you're going to pay a lot of tax because it'll be a lot more money in the end. Whereas in a Roth, you forego the tax break at the front end, but then it grows and you never pay taxes on it. Now, you had a proviso in there, Bill. You said at the present tax law. So it's always subject to change. And maybe at some point the government looks at Roths and thinks, wow, there's some money we should have gotten.
Well, Roth's been around for quite a while now, but when they first came out, there was a lot of people saying the same thing that you just said. Yes, they'll give you the tax break, but how do you know that the next Congress isn't going to change that? Well, we don't, and we can only base our plans on what the law is now, and I think that with the number of people retiring, the baby boomers in particular, that would be very, very difficult to change.
I agree with you, although I put nothing past Congress and our political leadership, unfortunately. So it may not be the panacea that it looks like today.
I agree.
You know, Bill, you mentioned when you're helping clients with planning, you know, all we can do is use the information that we know today. And I think it brings up a really good point. And that is the importance of making good financial decisions over a long period of time. I would argue that's what our industry should be focusing on, is helping our clients make great decisions over a long period of time. And I just said great, you know, even if you just do good, you're going to be okay. Most people's biggest enemy in achieving financial success, investing success, unfortunately, can be ourselves.
Oh, it
Have
definitely
you experienced
is.
That?
Oh, it's emotion. It is my job and your job isn't really figure out how to invest. We can do that, and we can match an investment plan to a person's risk tolerance. But our job really is controlling their emotions and having them choose a plan that is reasonable and rational. I heard one of the worst advice that I've seen in a very long time. That came across here just last week, and it said, don't look at what happened with your investments. Wait till the market closes before you look at it. Anybody that's looking at their investment and their portfolio every day or every week or every month is making a big mistake. Excuse me. They This is a journey. This is not a 100-yard dash. You don't investing is not some way to get rich quickly. Doesn't happen that way. It's a 20, 30, 40-year investment.
It's so seductive, though, because in hindsight, when there's a correction or when the market moves up, it looks so obvious. And, gee, why didn't I take full advantage
of it? And I have heard so many times, turn off CNBC.
Yeah.
Don't listen to every hourly gyration of the market, let alone every day's.
Completely agree. Let's talk about something else. Your book is on taxes and retirement. So explain to people, if you have money in an IRA, And you buy a company, and over a long period of time, let's say 10 years, that stock doubles. So you put $100 in, now you have $200. How is Uncle Sam going to tax that when you take it out of an IRA versus if you had held it in a taxable account?
Anything coming out of an IRA is going to be taxable at ordinary tax rates. If you had bought it outside the IRA, it's going to be a capital gains, which right now the top is 20%. But more than likely, depending on what your tax bracket is, it could be 15 or 10.
So that's the other important caution with IRAs is it's a vehicle, it's a wrapper around an account that likely is converting your investments that much of which would have been taxed at the lower capital gains rate. For many people, the rate's lower. Again, I'm not an accountant. So it's converting from that lower capital capital gains tax rate, into current income, which is, for most people, taxed pretty close, almost to double, if not 1.5 times as high.
That's true.
Is another reason why, if you think your tax rate is likely to be the same in retirement as it is now, and for most of my clients, that ends up being the case. They don't get that big break in taxes that they thought they were going to get. You can actually be behind the ball, even if you have income tax parity, because they're taxed differently.
Yes, and that's another thing. I don't go into the different tax rates in the book. As you said earlier, I advise them in the book to be talking to their CPAs, and they need to push their CPAs. There are 73,000 pages in the tax law. And the problem is there are a few of those pages in the 73,000 that help people, and they need to take advantage of them. And CPAs tend to be very, very conservative. And I understand that. We don't like getting a letter from the IRS. But we should take advantage. You should not fear the IRS. You should respect them, but take advantage of some of those rules and get yourself some more deductions when your CPA fills out your tax return.
You know, now that we're 20, 25 years down the road on 401k programs, in the financial literature, just in the past couple of weeks, I've seen a number of articles saying maybe 401ks weren't such a good idea.
Yeah,
talk a little bit about that. 401ks have kind of become the way companies, large companies, can avoid having a pension plan.
And that's exactly what happened. The large companies saw that they could get out of the expense of creating a pension for their employees. And the 401ks came along, and that's what they created. And the father of the 401ks said, I think it was a mistake. People are not saving money. The pensions used, my father worked for the city of New York for 30, 35 years. And he went off with a pension. He had some Social Security, a little bit of savings. But in those days, you retire at 66, you die at 73. You're going to live somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, 30 years in retirement. So there's got to be something that's substituted, because the 401ks have not worked. I think that there needs to be an overhaul of the Social Security system. We send money into Social Security based on your name and your Social Security number, but it's not in your name. It comes out somewhere else.
Unfortunately, it's in an IOU from the U.S. government.
That's right. You got to get the Social Security system, in my opinion, away from the government. I know there was some tried a couple of years ago to make it privatized, and that's not going to be easy. The government likes the money.
That's really controversial, and it's a huge problem. What do we do to solve Social Security? I want to go back to that topic of savings, and this is probably the last question that we have time for.
Yeah.
But you know, how do you advise people on saving? How much do they need to save for retirement, given that Social Security is likely not going to be, and it was never intended to be, something that you could live your current lifestyle on?
Well, let's say if you wanted to save $1 million and you wanted to if you wanted $1 million in retirement, if you're age 25, you've got to save somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 a month. And if you get a return, an average return of 7%, that's at 25. I don't know of any 25-year-old that's saving $405 a month. If you're 30, that number goes up to 585. The people don't understand that when they retire, there's no paycheck coming in for 20 or 30 years. Getting people to save is extremely difficult. I find it extremely difficult to tell people you've got to start. The only way you can do it is you got to have it taken out of your paycheck so that you never see it. If it comes in, people will spend first and save what's left over. It's the opposite way of having something for retirement. You've got to save first and spend what's left over.
Right. Oh, okay. Thanks, Bill, for joining us. The book is The Tax Ticking Time Bomb. It's on Amazon, I know. And you can reach Bill how?
You can reach me on my website is savinginvestors.com. You can call me at 435-655-0508. You can send me an email, bill@billmullen.org.
Okay, very fine. Thanks for joining us. A few updates. I believe we have power back now in Old Town, right on the money when Rocky Mountain said they would have it back. There's a little longer outage going on in Eastern Summit County, the Colville, Wanship area, also Kimball Junction. They expect power back there at 10 a.m. And with all the rain instead of snow, flooding problems may occur. And if you need sandbags, you can get them at 1755 South Hoytsville Road, just outside of Colville. That's where Public Works is standing by with sandbags you may need. And we are expecting precipitation to continue all day and then likely through the night, and really precipitation all the way through the week. So let's hope, Doug, that it turns to snow. It's sort of a rain-snow mix right now at Main Street.
It is, and I'm sure the roads are slippery as well, so please be careful as you drive. But we'll be back with Mountain Money in a few minutes. We've got Eddie Rubio, the owner of the office co-working space over by the Best Buy at Kimball Junction. You're listening to Mountain Money. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
This is Matt Mitten, attorney with Jones Waldo, a Park City law firm. Longtime supporters of KPCW, our firm provides estate planning and other personal legal services to residents of Summit County and beyond. We are online at joneswaldo.com and 435-200-0085.
Support for KPCW comes from Crandall Capital with New Park Town Center. With urban amenities and services and home to restaurants, shops, entertainment, lodging, and residences. More information about New Park Town Center at 801-303-5440.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. Well, we went a few minutes over on that topic with Bill. It's an important topic, and it's obviously one that I'm passionate about. We're going to switch gears now. We went from investing in 401ks. Now we're going to talk about real estate. There's a big new trend in the real estate industry now. It's called co-working space, and we've got Eddie Rubio, the owner of the office co-working space right here in Park City, in the studio to chat with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start. What is co-working space?
Co-working is a space where it's a shared office space concept where individuals who are working out of the home many sales managers who travel and don't have a fixed office, or startups. It's a way to have an office space without having the investment of having a long-term lease, setting up utilities, having that kind of expense, and it's fairly flexible. So we have people that are full-time, we have transient people, we have people who need to come in just for a day pass so that they can get out of the house and work high-speed internet. So it's also a place for people to build a community and have that social interaction and find like-minded people.
And I know one thing you can do is just rent an office, a conference room by the hour. It's kind of tough if you're trying to impress a client with your budding business if you have to meet at a Starbucks or the public library or something. So that's another feature.
Right. Individuals can just come in and rent the conference rooms for an hour. I think it's a fantastic idea for realtors. Here in Park City, we have a lot of realtors, and a lot of them work virtually. So this is a great opportunity to meet with their clients in a more professional setting. And I'm glad you mentioned Starbucks. When they first started, they were offering free Wi-Fi, and they wanted people to come in to attract more people. But today, we've heard from a lot of the coffee shops that they really don't want people just sitting there buying one cup of coffee and being there 8 hours. It's taking up their time. So one of the things that we do is we have a barista machine and give complimentary coffee out. So by the time you drink two cups with our day pass option, you're essentially breaking even. And being in a space where you don't feel uncomfortable, where everybody's looking at you and you're in the corner, you know, plugging in your laptop and
nursing that first cup of coffee from 4 hours earlier.
Exactly.
So I mentioned that this space is really exploding. It's very popular right now. There's several co-working spaces in Salt Lake City. There's more coming. They seem to be thriving. What's different now? What's driving this change?
I think a lot of companies are seeing that the overhead that they have by having big buildings and big office space, and now with the internet and the cell phones and the technology, they're basically allowing their employees to work virtually and have flex time so that they can save on that expense. We've seen a lot of companies do that. Zappos, for example, built a $100 million co-working space in Las Vegas, not only for their employees, but several other people. And I think that's what's driving it mostly. I mean, here in Park City, let's be honest, we're privileged to live here. And a lot of the people who do live here do work remotely or virtually. So I think it's a great opportunity to get out of the house.
There is another space similar to yours, Assemble, started up a couple years ago. So clearly you're seeing a growing need that you're coming into the same marketplace.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're a little bit different than Assemble and also the Gateway space in that they're more focused on individual offices. And so we have more of an open environment that's a little bit more social. We do have private offices, but our environment is really meant to be a little bit more interactive. It's just for a different need.
Is it true that you can, that these entrepreneurs can feed off each other and maybe form some partnerships that weren't really apparent when they came in for the first time?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. We have these spaces in Argentina. And they're doing incredibly well. So you have a lot of software programmers, for example, that website designers that work there, and they end up doing projects together because one has a different expertise than the other. So they're able to network, they work together, they're physically in the same space, and it allows them to build trust and to help each other.
Well, let's talk about the shared aspect of it. And I think a lot of our listening audience grew up in an era where you had your own office or you had a cubicle. You had more privacy than what's in a shared space. What do you see as the types of people that end up saying, you know what, the shared space is working for me versus the people that maybe it's not a match for?
Well, we actually have three products. We have five individual offices where people have their own office and they lease it on a month-to-month basis for a longer-term contract for a discount. So they have their private office. And we do have 20 individual workstations where people have a phone line. The receptionist can answer the phone line with their company name, and they have their own space. And then we have 60 shared spaces. What I mean by shared spaces is there's no dedicated seating. So people can just come in, and it's a coffee shop type of environment where they can sit down wherever they want. There's a plug at every station. and they can work. So I think what drives that, let's say, what we call our flex desk option, are people that really may not want to commit to a full office space or have that time, but every once in a while they do want to get out of the house. And we have some people that's what they do. They work from home. And what they tell us is, you know, we're at home. Then we got to do the laundry. Then we got to worry about this. And we start to get distracted and they're just not productive. So they come into our space and they're isolated from those distractions.
Right.
And you think about, you know, the real estate in this town is very expensive. So if you're looking at setting aside one of the rooms in your house as an office, if you haven't bought yet, and you can get by with a slightly smaller office, you might be a lot of dollars ahead of the game if you say, let's go for the smaller house, and instead of working out of the home, I'll go down the street.
I think that's certainly true. And I also think that we have flexibility. So trying to get your own independent office here in Park City as well, you know that it's not inexpensive, but you typically have to commit for a long period of time. And our flexibility allows you to have peace of mind that you don't have a long-term commitment and you're able to have a lot of flexibility.
Okay, let's interrupt this interview, if you don't mind, for a minute, Eddie, because there's an accident that's occurred, and Captain Phil Kirk is on the line to give us an update. What do you know, Phil?
Well, for those folks coming into town on 224 northbound into town, there's an accident at the intersection of Bear Hollow that's backing up traffic quite a ways. It looks like it'll be there for a while, so expect quite a delay there or take another route.
So I would assume then you're advising people who are inbound to Park City to blow through Kimball Junction, come around to Quinn's, and come in on 248.
That'd probably save you a considerable amount of time.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Captain.
Thank you.
Also, some other updates. We now have power restored in the Park City 84060 area. And there is some an outage continuing from Kimball Junction on out to Wanship and Colville, expecting power back there by 10 a.m. That's affecting several thousand people. I think it's north of 2,000 people affected by that outage. And also there is some minor flooding occurring in the eastern part of the county right now. And if you need sandbags, go to Summit County Public Works Department. They have sandbags for you at 1755 South Hoytsville Road in Colville. Most of that flooding is occurring in that eastern county area, so that should be convenient for you if you need to get bags. Again, Captain Kirk just reporting accident at Bear Hollow that's tying up 224 and will for some time, so you may be advised to come around and come in on 248 at Quinn's Junction. Now let's get back to Eddie Rubio, the owner of the office co-working space in Park City. So give us an idea of the various price points for having an office at your space.
Great. So our flex desk, which is our non-reserved, non-designated seating, we have three options there. One is a $20 day pass with no commitment for anything else. Then we have a 10-day punch pass, which is, the flex desk is $20. The 10-day punch pass is $165, and our unlimited monthly is $225. So as you do the numbers, the longer commitment brings it down.
So 10 days, you're getting that space for $16.
Correct. And the unlimited, you're getting it for about $12. So how much is a cup of coffee?
And if you drink four cups of coffee, you're breaking even.
That's right. And we have the barista machine, like I said, with 10 different types of coffee. But I think it's pretty inexpensive. Our dedicated desk, which means you have your assigned cubicle with a locker and your own individual phone line, is $450 a month. And part of that is having the phone line, having the receptionist be able to answer the phone with your company name. You can accept mail, packages, etc. And then we have two other products, our fixed offices, which are enclosed. They're 10 by 10, furnished. Again, the receptionist can answer the phone with your company name. You have a mailing address, business address, is $1,200 a month. And we also have a virtual office, which means it's $75 a month, and you get a couple hours of conference time. But what that really gives you is a phone extension, and again, the receptionist can answer the phone, and you've got a business address to receive mail and packages.
What is the Is there a going rate for office space if you just want to rent an office somewhere? Is that pretty tight? Is that inventory tight and expensive?
I think it is tight, and it depends where you want to be, right? I mean, you're here in Park City, and if you want to rent an office again, to find an individual small office that's 100, 150 square feet is difficult. Most of these spaces are a little bit bigger. Again, they require long-term commitments. I don't think anybody will lease to you for a month. Then you have the furniture that you got to buy. Then you got to set up the utilities, and you've got quite a bit more of an expense. So I think this is an incredibly inexpensive and flexible way to have a space to work in.
I think it's important that we have services like what you're doing. So thank you for doing that, and we wish you all the success with that venture. Again, our guest has been Eddie Rubio. He is the owner of the office co-working Park City, which is out by Best Buy's at Kimball Junction, which you want to avoid right now because apparently there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, don't go rent an office this minute because there is an accident at Bear Hollow Drive. And if you're coming into the city and you can turn around, you may be better off going to 248 and coming in that way. So if you're approaching Kimball Junction, keep going, take the next exit, get on 40, come in the back way, and you'll be here sooner. So that's it for Mountain Money for the first two segments. When we come back, we'll be talking with the Utah Division of Consumer Protection, Daniel O'Bannon. There's a new telemarketing scheme going around designed to take money out of your pocket, so we will warn you about that next.
This is Ryan Hoffman, manager at Mountain West Bank, sponsor of KPCW. We're a community bank with a great understanding of our local needs. Mountain West Bank has something unheard of nowadays, but I can't say it on the radio. We're next to the movies near Kearns Boulevard at 649-3369. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Cookies on Fridays.
Mountain Money on KPCW is sponsored in part by Columbus Pacific Properties, introducing Apex Residences, 63 ski-through community residences located at Park City's expanded Canyon Village, with clubhouse amenities, heated outdoor pool, and in-house concierge. Information at apexparkcity.com.
You know, we rely on our listeners, our astute listeners, who have our number on speed dial and give us real-time traffic conditions, and we've just had a caller say, actually, there is no backup anymore. Excuse me. So 224 is a fine way to come in, apparently. Disregard the detour I suggested because that's no longer necessary, but be careful around Bear Hollow. They're in the cleanup stages of a accident they had out there.
All right, and we should have on the phone Daniel O'Bannon. He is the director of the Utah Division of Consumer Protection. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Daniel, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Perfect. Yeah, we have you now. Okay. So Larry was mentioning in the teaser before the break, there's a new scam going on. Apparently, it's pretty prolific. Larry was telling me off air that he got this exact phone call on Friday. So tell us what we should be watching out for.
And I would consider this to be kind of the latest iteration of an ongoing pattern of what we call imposter phone calls, where someone calls claiming to be someone that they really aren't. And it seems like maybe these types of calls are being refined a little bit, because this last one that I'm going to talk about is fairly credible. You know, somebody could easily get this call and think that this is coming from a legitimate source. So in this current version of the scam, somebody got a phone call from the so-called Utah Public Utilities Commission. Now, the only problem there is that there isn't a Utah Public Utilities Commission. There is a Public Service Commission.
And so it sounds like they're legit.
That's exactly right. So the so-called Utah Public Utilities Commission calls and then starts to make a sales pitch about energy, kind of related to solar energy, and offering special pricing on solar energy panels.
So are they actually selling solar panels, or are they just trying to get a bank account or charge card number?
It's an excellent question. What we know is the pitch that they're making. We have not at this point received credible information as to what happens if someone actually makes a purchase or gets sucked into this, which is one of the reasons why we want to get the word out that if somebody has received this call, and made the purchase, you know, please come talk to us. Bring us the information you have and let us track down who's there.
So are these calls local or are they originating from overseas? Do you have any way of knowing where they're coming from? Because I'll tell you, the call I got about solar tax credits sounded very much like it was coming from a boiler room. You could hear other voices in the background, and she did have a foreign accent. So do you have any idea where these calls come from?
We can speculate. At this point, we can only speculate. I think it's likely that they're coming from overseas. This type of call usually does. In this case, the phone number that was reported to us was what we call a spoofed phone number, which means that it wasn't the actual number that the person was calling from. It just came across caller ID with a fake phone number.
So it looked like maybe an 801 number where you'd expect the Utah Public Service Commission to be calling from.
It really could be. The one in particular that we received a report on had a California number, but it could, you know, they can easily spoof an 801 phone number to make it look like it's coming from the Public Service Commission or any other government office.
So, Daniel, there's a lot of people. You know, this town is very, we're up in Park City. The town is very eco-conscious. I would say the state as a whole is getting there as well. There are people that are interested in solar cells. What should they do if they get a call like this?
Hang up. Frankly, that's what I would recommend people do, is hang up. If, you know, the number that we got the call from, we can't trace it. We don't know where it goes. The number was disconnected when we tried to call it back. If you're interested in solar, do some research, find legitimate companies, and go about it in a methodical, much more safe way, rather than just getting a phone call from someone and thinking, gosh, this sounds like a great deal. I want to get on board.
You know, I hate to kill the telemarketing industry, but in general, if you're interested in something, do your own research and find it. Don't let somebody call you on the phone. Larry, we've had other people in. Unfortunately, there's been situations where people are knocking on the doors unsolicited. You know, just because somebody's knocking at your door doesn't mean you have to open the door.
And, you know, I am targeted. I think I'm fairly sophisticated, but I've also had door-to-door solar cell salesmen knocking on my door. Yeah, I presume this is just the hottest topic right now. Next year, they'll be selling something else that's hot, but right now, it's rooftop solar.
I think that's right, and that's part of what tries to make the scam credible is paying attention to what is popular or hot.
Although there is a little irony coming from this made-up government agency. I mean, right now it's very controversial. You know, does the existing utility companies, do they want to encourage solar or not? I know they just dropped a bill recently where they were going to actually charge more for people that had solar cells on their rooftop. So it's unlikely a government agency is going to be calling you.
And that's a topic for another day. But Daniel, talk about just in general, what should you do when you get a call like this? Because IRS calls like this are quite common, too, that you owe X amount of taxes and it's going to go X amount if you don't pay us now, and what's your credit card or bank account number?
Right.
So what are the tips? Give us the rundown of tips.
The first thing is, when you get a call and someone's making a pitch to you, you just have to have your red flags up immediately. And you always should feel free. Tip number one, always feel free to hang up the phone. You know, we like to be cordial and professional and kind, but when someone's calling you unsolicited and offering to sell you something or offering you a great deal, always feel free to hang up the phone. Number two is, do your research before you get into anything. Know who's on the other side of the line. You should be able to hang up the phone and call them back at a number and be able to, you know, have a back and forth with them, not just this one time. If you hang up, there's no chance you can do this. And then tip number three is, if you do have problems, if you do get scammed, get help.
Yeah, and Daniel, unfortunately, Utah has a reputation of having more than our fair share of scams, phone scams, door-to-door scams. What other areas, so tell us about the Utah Division of Consumer Protection. What other areas, we're talking about the door-to-door, what other areas do you help folks with? If somebody's dealing with a local business and they have a problem, can they reach out to you? Can you help with those types of situations?
They can, and that's actually kind of our bread and butter of what we're here to help with. Really, anytime somebody has a transaction with a business and they need some help, something goes wrong, they can reach out to us. And usually if we can't help for some reason, we can point them in the right direction. But you know, anything that has to do with what you might feel are misrepresentations or even just simple, the business never delivered to me what I ordered, are all things that we can help with at the Division of Consumer Protection.
Are you aware of any other things going on right now? The solar energy scheme is hot right now. Are you getting complaints on anything else happening over the phones?
Not over the phones. That's you know, the imposter scams are some of the hotter ones. We have gotten a lot of complaints recently about online sales of nutraceutical products. So people just need to be aware what the terms are when they're entering into those transactions, and realize that a lot of times you're signing up to get a monthly charge, and you need to look for disclosures. And if you're not seeing those disclosures, certainly let us know, and we can try and help.
So Daniel, you were saying your bread and butter is kind of the Utah consumer that unfortunately a business didn't deliver what that person thought the person should, or maybe there was some misrepresentation. Let's talk about when they order something and it doesn't get delivered. Or worse, when something gets delivered but it's not what it was supposed to be. So when you get a package from UPS and they ask you to sign for it, what kind of rights are you giving up if you just sign for it right away?
From our standpoint, you're not giving anything up. Our laws allow us to find out what happened, what the representation was by the business, and really to kind of go from there. So I think the important thing for a consumer to know is keep track of receipts, invoices, representations by the business, all of those things. And second, don't wait long if there's a problem. The longer you wait to call us, the harder it can be for us to help you out. Sometimes people are embarrassed if there's a problem and they don't want to call and admit that things went wrong. That's why we're here, is to help with that kind of situation.
And Daniel, how do people find you online?
We are at consumerprotection.utah.gov.
Excellent. Well, Daniel, thank you for joining us this morning. It's good advice, and we appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Daniel. And we'll have some concluding comments and some news updates. Here's one right now at the Mayflower exit on US 40. It is closed due to an accident at the Mayflower. So if you're trying to take 40 to Heber, traffic is going to be slow or stopped on the way to Heber past the Park City exit. This is at the Mayflower exit over there by Jordanell. And it's just points out with the other accident on 224, roads are extremely slippery right now. We're right at the freezing point, so there's a lot of moisture on the road and a lot more moisture on its way, and especially at those bridge decks, Doug, you know, where air is moving underneath the roadway.
Good reminder, those freeze first.
As well, that those bridge decks freeze first, and be careful out there. It's very tricky out there in these conditions, and they're expected to continue all week. So we will be back to wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel. 565-4730, ParkCityAirCruiseAndTravel.com. Park City Bike Demos, Kearns Boulevard next to Adolph's, ParkCityBikeDemos.com. Long, Reimer, Weininger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
And Doug, you can see right outside the KPCW window, Sundance preps are well underway now.
Yeah, they had a building last year that was probably 150, 200 yards from this building, but it's moved up awfully close to the KPCW studios.
Bob Wells Plaza now covered by a tent structure that's going up. That is called Base Camp, and it's a music venue and a discussion venue and a pretty lively place. There's four or five tents going up. Last year they had a food tent in there as well and some other interesting spaces.
And it may add, last year, to my knowledge, it was the only free food on around the Sundance area. It was actually free food there.
Well, you would know.
I would know. I do like my free food.
Doug likes his bargains. And so that's happening. Last week, also over the weekend, I noticed trucks unloading, emptying Main Street businesses that turn themselves into Sundance venues as well. So
it's a fun town. You know, we go right from Christmas and New Year's holiday, and then all of a sudden Sundance is up. We get like 10 days to breathe and where things aren't crowded, and then we have the festivities
and
again.
And we have, I think, about 10 days to Sundance starting up. So remember, our shows will be preempted during Sundance because we will have the Sundance reel instead. And in fact, we're on about a 3-week hiatus, Doug, because next Monday's a holiday as well. Let's take a look at this forecast. It's pretty interesting. 100% chance of winter mix of rain and snow today, and we've seen that in the last hour. That chance continues tonight, 60% chance tomorrow, 100% chance tomorrow night. There is a good chance of snow likely all week, some of it rain, but a cold front's going to come through tomorrow, hopefully. Even tonight, it'll get down to 23. So hopefully all that snowpack we've lost in the last few days, we will start building back.
Yeah, and you know, we go through this every year. There's always one week where it rains, and if Park City Municipal could plan a week we were going to get rain, this was probably the best one.
This is the lull week, and it gives the city a chance to get those streets cleaned up again. And you know, just looking at my neighbor's roof line, which is how I can judge snow, it was about 20 inches deep yesterday. And it's only about 4 inches deep today. So
yeah, unfortunately, we have a lot of snow.
We
it.
Have beaten down the snowpack, but we'll start building it up shortly.
Larry, so, do you know how are we doing snowfall-wise?
Oh, we are well. I think we're well ahead.
Feels like we are.
I think everybody's grinning at this point. Quick reminder, there is an accident at the Mayflower exit on U.S. 40 headed to Heber. It's going to be slow down there, but 224 is up and running after an earlier accident. Well, let's thank our guests. Bill Mullen joined us first with his new book, The Tax Ticking Time Bomb. He's with Millennium Financial in Park City. Eddie Rubio then joined us with the office co-working space out in Redstone, New Park area, and Daniel O'Bannon just was with us with the Utah Division of Consumer Protection.
Yeah, and Larry, I want to thank our great sponsors. They include Mountain West Bank, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, Jones Waldo, Holbrook and McDonough, All Resort Group, Park City Mountain, and Apex Residences and Viridian Park City, Columbus Pacific Properties.
And a couple of reminders again, power still out, but expected back momentarily. If someone's out there, can give us a call when power is restored, we'd appreciate it. That's out in the East County, but they expect about a restoration of power at about 10 a.m. That's affecting 2,000 customers right now. And also some minor floodings occurring, mostly in the Eastern County area, and sandbags are available there at the Public Works Building on Hoytsville Road. So we are expecting 100% chance of precipitation today, so be safe out there, especially on the roads, which are a bit slippery. This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells. You've been listening to Mountain Money on KPCW Park City.